Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio listeners. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast. Always available. Always free. Always odd.
The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast esoterica and so much more. If it's odd to you, friend, it's on the odd to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best at East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of May 2018. Guys, Mother's Day is just around the corner, and make sure you tell her that she's wonderful. She's a masterpiece, beautifully made, important to people, because you're important to me. Highly favored by your creator, whether that is a god or by the law of averages and physics working in tandem, you're thirsty for knowledge and addicted to wonder. You, my friend, are an oddball, and here on this show, you are family, and we are one. This is episode 54 of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, your monthly paranormal variety show. Guys, I hope you had an awesome April. I hope April Fools found you very, very well. Got to say, right off the top, a very happy anniversary. Just celebrated the other night with my wife. We've been together 10 years. We've been married for 6. I love you so very, very much. Thank you for letting me chase my dreams. Because, you know, we realize that this month in particular, when it comes to us paranormal radio hosts, we are not immortal. We will pass on eventually. And of course, you guys know where this is going to. How could I not start this podcast off without talking about the legendary host? Art Bell has died at the age of 72. The former Coast to Coast AM radio host reportedly died at his home in Pahrump, Nevada. And, you know, I don't want to spend the time on my podcast like every other paranormal podcaster is going to do. That by now you guys have heard the story 1,000 times. If you really want to hear just a beautiful tribute to Art and how much he meant to people, I want you to go and I want you to download George Norrie's show. George Norrie, I mean, a lot of people say he's the predecessor anyway, but when he delivered that news live on air as a true professional, just, oh, It just gutted me. It killed me to hear it. And I cannot do a better job than George Norrie, nor will I pretend I can. I think if you really want to hear a beautiful tribute to Art, you gotta go listen to his stuff, okay? So I'll leave it at that. I will say this, though. I feel the same about Art passing away as I do about Leonard Nimoy, because it's all about the voice when it comes to me. I think of Leonard Nimoy on In Search Of when I was a kid, and I think of hearing Art Bell on old records and stuff, talking about different things, especially his Halloween episodes of his show. Like, those were very popular and stuff when I was growing up. I'm going to say this. We never got to hear him live on the air in Newfoundland, but we did get to listen to him online. And that internet community of paranormal people have kept his shows alive for many, many years. And they'll live on forever. The memory I have of, you know, Art is very, very subtle compared to a lot of other people out there, mainly because I'm from Eastern Canada. And once again, he never played on my radio, but I will say this, he was one of the first shows I ever downloaded and listened to, and I could not help but be inspired by this man who just delivered the goods on all these subjects that I loved, man. Over the years, he talked about just everything. Show focused on numerous alternative topics, including the paranormal, UFOs, conspiracy theories, psychic readings, cryptozoology, psychic readings, you name it. You name it, he did it all. And, like, I can still remember very vividly listening to his stuff with, like, Bob Lazar and David Icke and, just... When I think of Leonard Nimoy talking about stuff I'm in search of, and his voice, and I think of Art Bell interviewing somebody, those brings me right back to my childhood, and for that he will be terribly, terribly missed. There's a void that needs to be filled now, and I do believe the world of paranormal are in very capable hands. His dream was to see everybody reporting on this stuff, so guess what? It came true. Rest in peace, Art. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and dive right into the paranormal news. NASA astronauts pass UFO lie detector test. You guys hear about this shit? Audio clips of astronauts talking about their experiences with UFOs have been analyzed for truthfulness. The study, which was carried out by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology in Albany, Ohio, sought to authenticate the testimonials of Al Warden, Buzz Aldrin, Gordon Cooper, and Edgar Mitchell. While the analysis produced positive results for all those tested, perhaps the most interesting result obtained from the experiment concerned Aldrin's account of a strange L-shaped object that he and the Apollo 11 crew had seen on their way to the moon in 1969. According to bioacoustic researcher Sherry Edwards, Aldrin was certain he saw a UFO. Well, what exactly did he see that day? During a recent Ask Me Anything session on Reddit, internet users were keen to quiz Aldrin on the nature of this mysterious sighting. He responded by acknowledging that there could have been several explanations for the object, but admitted that the most likely was that he had seen the sun reflecting off a nearby panel. So while the bioacoustic result indicated that his earlier UFO claim was truthful, and that he had believed it at the time, it seems he may have changed his mind about it since then. So what do you think? Thinking he was silenced by the government? I don't know. But I do know that. It's very interesting that he actually passed that lie detector test, you know? That's really, really interesting. What do you guys think about that? Do you guys think they saw something in 1969? There might even be people listening to the show who don't even think they went to the moon in 1969. Anyway, I digress. Since we're up in the sky, we might as well talk about this one, too. A drone survey discovers new Nazca geoglyphs. Yeah, new lines. You guys hear about this? Archaeologists have succeeded in identifying several previously unseen geoglyphs in Peru's Palpa province. Situated in a remote arid plateau in southern Peru, the Nazca lines are a series of spectacular artistic designs, including images of spiders, monkeys, hummingbirds, fish and lizards, which were etched in the desert floor about 2,000 years ago. The designs were produced by removing the red-colored pebbles that littered the desert to unveil the white, dusty ground underneath. It's really, really interesting how they do that. Now, with the help of drone technology, Peruvian archaeologists have discovered a further 50 geoglyphs that are believed to date back to 2,500 years. Yeah, 2,500 years. The shapes have previously been missed by satellite survey due to how thin the lines are. Totally understandable, of course. This is really a new age of exploration, said National Geographic's Kristen Rami. I suppose it would be, you know? And the Nazca lines and stuff like that, I mean, these are still a mystery to us. Some people say they line up with, like, constellations in the sky. Some people think they're, like, a tribute to God. Some people even think they're communication to extraterrestrials. That there's all kinds of things out there that people think these Nazca lines are. What do you think they are? Why don't you let me know? So anybody here have a really cool aunt they're going to go see on Mother's Day? I have a really cool aunt. I have many really cool aunts. And, of course, my sister, you know, who recently had a child herself, is an aunt now. And I can't help but think about her when I read about this new species of exploding ant. Yeah. Brand new species of ant, folks. Brand new. Capable of taking drastic action to protect... Who should say ashen? Capable of taking drastic action to protect their colonies, these ants have a rather unusual defense mechanism. Unlike other ants, which typically bite in an effort to deter attackers, these bizarre tree dwellers latch onto an enemy, tear open their body, and then secrete a toxic substance all over them. Unsurprisingly, the defending ant does not survive the process. Named Colobosus explodens, awesome scientific name, his last name is Explodens, I love that. The species was discovered by PhD student Alice Lassini and colleagues at the Natural History Museum in Vienna. It's a bit like the mechanism of when a bee stings, she said. An ant colony couldn't be treated as a family of individuals, but really like a superorganism, and each ant acts like a cell in the body, and it has its own role to play, which is super interesting. They just do all this out of instinct, and it is quite unusual to have animals kill themselves in defense, but you know what? Anything for the queen. Save the queen. You gotta love it. Guys, new exploding butts on ants, which is perfect to, you know, be on the ass end of this next story, which is, I got news for you. Do you know that Uranus smells like rotten eggs? It's official, guys. Hydrogen sulfide, which gives rotten eggs their smell, has been discovered in the seventh planet's atmosphere, Uranus. Yeah, I had you going there for a second, didn't I? The presence of the gas on Uranus... Like, how do you not laugh your head off? Like, how am I supposed to read this article? Why did I choose this? Like, come on. The presence of the gas on Uranus had long been suspected, but it wasn't until astronomers made observations using the near-infrared integral field spectrometer, my God, NIFS for short, should be SNIFS if they had half a clue, instrument on the Gemini North Telescope in Hawaii that was finally confirmed by that telescope, is what I was trying to say here. The instrument was able to spot the signature of hydrogen sulfide above Uranus's cloud tops. Oh my God, I'm such a child. Only a tiny amount remains above the clouds as a saturated vapor, said study co-author Lee Fletcher of the University of Leicester. And this is why it is so challenging to capture the signatures of ammonia and hydrogen sulfide above cloud decks of Uranus. This is just as funny as the Grumpy Cat story from last month. The superior capabilities of Gemini finally gave us that lucky break. The discovery is helping physicists understand more about the structure and atmosphere of Uranus. It is very important that we learn more about the structure of Uranus. We are bending over backwards to learn more about the structure of Uranus. You know what? Just don't subscribe to me anymore. I can't do this. Just don't subscribe anymore. If an unfortunate human were to descend through Uranus clouds. If an unfortunate human were to descend through Uranus clouds, they would be met with very unpleasant and odoriferous conditions, said study lead author Patrick Irwin of Oxford University. Of course, suffocation exposure in the negative 200 degrees Celsius atmosphere made of mostly hydrogen, helium, and methane would take its toll long before the smell started to bug you. So there you go, guys. Oh, God. Okay, I'm just going to go on to the next story. I'm laughing at her. I can't even segue. Okay, last story. You know, everyone talks about Trump as a president. Well, what about Mitchell Temer? You guys hear about this guy? He's Brazil's president, okay? And he moves out this month of his house, okay? The place is afforded to him. Out of his official residence. So that's the Brazilian official presidential residence. Guys, it's a big deal, okay? He moves out because of, get this, ghosts. Yeah, this story's just, what? I mean... I never heard tell of this story before. I'm a little bit late for dinner, of course, on this one. This was actually from about a year ago. But when I read this story, I was like, oh, this is really cool. I should bring it up because, you know, there's just so much turmoil going on. And we just heard about North and South Korea kind of making peace. So it made me kind of look up a bit of political stuff and looked up ghosts. And yeah, Brazilian President Mitchell Temer moves out of official residence because of ghosts. Yes, this is from last year, but I still want to talk about it because this is really cool. The acting president of Brazil has reportedly moved out of his official residence because of ghosts. Mitchell Temer, who has been running the country since Dilma Rousseff was impeached last year, told a Brazilian news magazine that he and his family were leaving the Alvorada Palace, because they found it, quote-unquote, spooky. Mr. Temer and his wife, Marcella, are moving back to the vice presidential residence in Jabiru Palace, where they live with their 7-year-old son, Mitchell Zenzo, since he was elected vice president in 2011. And I quote, I felt something strange there. I wasn't able to sleep right from the first night. The energy wasn't good. We're out of here. Marcella felt the same thing. Only Machunzo, who went running from end to end, kind of liked the feeling of it all. And there you go. Interesting. I know I'm a little late for supper on that one. Once again, that's a story from this time last year, for God's sake. But it just popped up in my feed, and I thought it was interesting that the president of Brazil moved out because of ghosts last year. That's pretty interesting stuff. Guys, you know, we had the passing of the legendary Art Bell. We had NASA astronauts passing a UFO lie detector test. We had drone survey which discovered new Nazca geoglyphs. A new species of exploding ant was discovered. You found out Uranus smells like rotten eggs. I mean, what else could it possibly smell like? Brazilian President Michel Temer moved out of his house last year because of ghosts. Guys, all these stories have been odd to Newfoundland.
Thanks, John. I would like to welcome you to your MUFON Minute for May 2018. The nuclear physicist who put Roswell on the map will speak at Alien Cosmic Expo in Toronto in June as his last engagement. This year will be the last time the public in Canada can meet the man who brought Roswell to the attention of the world. Nuclear physicist and UFO researcher Stanton Friedman is retiring. After graduating with a Master's of Science degree in nuclear physics in 1956, Friedman was employed as a nuclear physicist working on advanced classified programs on nuclear aircraft, fission and fusion rockets, and compact nuclear power plants for space applications. In 1970, Friedman changed his direction and began pursuing a career in scientific investigations of UFOs. He lectured at colleges and professional groups in 50 states, 9 provinces, and 16 countries outside of the U.S. He has also worked as a consultant on the topic of UFOs. Friedman has published more than 80 UFO-related papers and has appeared on radio and television programs. Friedman has stated that he will be 84 years old in July and believes he will be spending his time after retirement just looking in on the internet. He said he gave his first lecture on unidentified flying objects in 1967, and that was a long time ago. He believes enough is enough. One of his last events will be the Roswell International UFO Museum Festival in July in Roswell, New Mexico. Since Friedman was the original civilian investigator of the Roswell incident, where it is believed a UFO crashed in the area in July 1947, it seemed fitting to him to accept the invitation to speak at the festival. Stanton Friedman has devoted his life's work to the UFO community, and though his retirement will leave a huge void, his belief in the existence of life beyond Earth continues, as does the conviction that our planet is being visited by aliens. Retirement will change none of this, and his influence will continue to affect ufologists now and as we watch Earth's future with alien life unfold. While you'll be very missed, we do wish you all the best, Stanton, on your retirement. Remember, as you head up to the gravel pits with your 2-4s and your Vienna sausages, remember, on those cold nights of May 2-4 camping, be sure to keep your eyes to the skies. If you see something interesting, be sure to report it to www.mufon.com. For more information about MUFON in Newfoundland and Labrador, be sure to check out the Newfoundland UFO Network on Facebook. Thanks, John.
Thank God. It's time for oddities.
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Boy, that escalated quickly.
I want to believe.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
Oddities.
All right, folks, it's time for Oddities, 10 strange but very true facts about an odd, odd world. And since Mother's Day is just around the corner, yeah, I thought I'd dedicate Oddities this year, this May, well, to all the moms out there. It's going to be a Mother's Day-themed Oddities, and this one comes right from Ripley's, believe it or not. I mean, come on, a classic website for me to read from. Guys, they've been around for like 100 years, you know that? Like 99 years, I think, they're celebrating this year. Very, very odd, believe it or not. So congrats to the Ripley's crowd. I'm robbing your article. Let's get this party started. In celebration of Mother's Day, here are some of the fascinating facts that make your mom the coolest, believe it or not. I always kind of wanted to say that. It's a fact, pregnancy changes the body. You can leave a lasting impression. And no, we're not talking about stretch marks. Your mother carries pieces of you for decades. Pieces of you? Yeah, it's true. It's called microchimerism. What's microchimerism? While you're developing in the womb, your cells blended with your mother's. After travel through the placenta, the two cells that mixed are called immune and mesenchymal cells. The immune cells are important because it ensures that a mother's immune system won't reject the fetus. Yeah, we're talking about, well, you. Scientists believe that these cells play a huge part in regeneration. There is still more research to be done on what else it can do for the human body. That's really, really cool. Oh, I love my mom's voice. And I don't know what the world would be like without... I definitely don't know what your world would be like, but I don't know what mine would be like if I couldn't hear what she was saying, at least every now and then. You've been in love with your mother's voice, though, before you were even born. A study conducted by Queen's University in Canada showed that fetuses' heart rate increased significantly compared to a voice of a stranger, even their father's. Yikes. Sorry, dads. That's true. That heart rate increases significantly when they hear their own mother's voice. Very, very interesting. You've named your mother all over the world. You guys hear about this before? Did you know that both languages, Mandarin and Spanish, use the word mama? Not only that, but ma is used in Punjabi and me in Vietnamese. You see, the first thing a baby vocalizes is ma. Okay, there's just no language barrier when talking about your mother. Now, this is what we call universal. So that's really, really interesting. And yeah, I 100% agree. Faith and Sam's first word were ma. Mother's Day facts. Here they come. Gonna throw some at you. The first Mother's Day was celebrated in 1908. It was founded by Anna Jarvis. President Wilson established Mother's Day as official holiday. There are about 2 billion moms in the world. There are about 122.5 million phone calls on Mother's Day, making it one of the busiest phone days of the year. There are about 152 million Mother's Day cards sent every year. Approximately $14 billion is spent on Mother's Day. More people purchase fresh flowers and plants for Mother's Day than any other holiday except Christmas and Hanukkah. And, of course, the carnation. Carnations are the most popular flowers for Mother's Day. Guys, very, very odd, but very, very true facts about our amazing Mother's Day. Because you know what? Let's be honest. Our moms, if we're a little bit odd, chances are they're odd too. Yeah, it's true. Did you ever hear the old term, whatever's in the cat's in the kitten? Yeah, well, Mom, I love you very much. How do you feel about that right now? Guys, I've got a psychic, an afterlife communicator, coming up to have a chat with us. Don't you dare go away.
Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn radio listeners. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast. Always available, always free, always odd.
Welcome back to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Tonight's guest, well, she got a gift when she was 14 years old and continues to use it to this very day. Do you believe in the afterlife? Is it possible that when we pass away, a part of us survives death? And if so, is it even more possible to communicate with those on the other side? Some people talk about talking directly to deceased loved ones. Other people talk about spirit guides who kind of lead the way. Well, tonight, we're talking to someone who knows a thing or two about a thing or two about, well, those things or two. Her name is Lorna Adams. She's a psychic and afterlife communicator. Lorna, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Jonathan. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks so much for your patience. I was supposed to record Lorna last week, but was feeling a little under the weather. And, of course, she was very, very, shall we say, flexible and made room for me tonight. So I certainly appreciate you taking that time.
Oh, sure. No problem.
So, Lorna, you say 14 years old this gift started. Tell me a little tiny bit about how all that came about.
Well, you know, it's been quite a learning curve. It, like anything else that I believe that you have a natural ability, that you're given a natural ability for. You know, it took a lot of years of, you know, playing around with it and, you know, learning about, you know, spirit guides and my guides and So like anything, like like any talent, it's also a lot of work too. but it's been a really good work because I too am fascinated by, always have been, the afterlife and spirit guides and angels and all of that. So it started, you know, when I was young and I had a couple of other careers, and it's only been 12 years that I've been doing this full time. So I've always had the ability, but I really never wanted to, you know, hang my sign out there that said psychic. You know, I just, really didn't want to do that. But, my husband kept pushing me, kept saying, you know, well, this helps people. It helps people. So, you know, it's, combined with a lot of work and many years and years of practice and, you know, seeing probably thousands of people now. Now it's really, it's quite nice. It's fun.
So do you find like your gift, you know, I look at it like any gift. Like me, I kind of got the gift for gab. And, well, I kind of got better at it as time went on. Do you find that you have, I'm not going to say more power, but maybe just a more refined ability since you were, well, the tender age of 14?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, my guides, I don't know why they love metaphors, period. And then they use the metaphor of playing tennis. I don't know why, they must be fans, but, they say, you know, if you were going to take a tennis lesson once a week, you know, and expect to get good as opposed to, you know, maybe five lessons a week, can you imagine your progress, you know? So that's sort of what they've done with me. You know, they threw me in the pool and said, here you go, swim, you know. So a lot of what I do has to do with me and trusting what comes and trusting my guides, which probably seems kind of crazy after I've been doing it, you know, my whole life. But, you know, when you start doing it for people as a job and getting paid for it, you know, it takes on a different sort of tone. So, and I take my work very seriously and I take a lot of pride in it. And like any other, you know, work, it's work, you know, just like being on the radio. It's a lot of work. I love it. But the clarity, the older I get is incredible. It blows me away.
I think it's really exciting to know that there's always better days ahead, even if you think you're really good now. Imagine how much better you'll be in 10 years. So tell me a little tiny bit about that process. You know, you mentioned before that you have to trust in your spirit guide. How does this work? Like, you know, in our world right now, I want to communicate with you. I got to call you on Skype, stumble through for a few minutes and try my best to connect with you. And hopefully we don't cut in and out. You know, I'd imagine talking with the other side might be a little more complicated. Tell me a little tiny bit about that process, how you go from no one speaking to someone speaking to you from over there.
Well, you know, speaking to my spirit guides who've been with me all my life, and then speaking to people who've passed that I don't particularly know, you know, for a client. So those are two different things. When it comes to spirit guides, you know, what I do is I read or take in energy. And the only thing I need to connect with anybody's energy or anybody, whether they're alive or past, is their first name. So I go back to what I started with, was called automatic writing, which is described as writing without conscious thought. And I do a little meditation, a little prayer meditation, a grounding meditation. And so what I did for you is I was just sort of sitting here as we were trying to connect, you know, on Skype. And I took your name and then I just wrote down the impressions that I got of things that are going on around you.
Whoa. So wait, you're already reading me?
Well, yeah, I do, you know, because anytime I talk about this, I always do my little, you know, meditation with getting ready thing.
Cool.
You know.
Okay, now so. I'm intrigued. So I'm so glad it took me an extra 10 minutes to connect with you.
You know, I'll tell you, the interesting thing is the trust comes in because, you know, I'm like anybody else. I want to be right. You know, I want to be good. I want to be right. You know, I've got an ego like anybody else. And so, but sometimes, you know, I have no idea if what I've written about you is correct or not. So you know, it takes a leap of faith to throw it out there and say, well, here, Jonathan, here is some of the impressions that I've gotten about you and your life.
Okay, so let's throw this out there to you. Let's say, obviously, I'm here right now, and there's other people in my house as well. What happens if you're picking up on stuff about them and not really, how do you differentiate? Like, do I give off a certain kind of energy you know right away, or?
Well, everybody has a sort of a, you know, some people call it aura, but I don't really see colors. I don't see aura. I see what's in your energy. And so what I wrote down, everything that I felt and sensed in your energy field. And it could be somebody in your house. It depends on, you know, a people's energy is different. Some is very strong. And this goes for people on the other side as well, especially grandparents. They will literally push everybody else out of the way because they want to be heard first, you know, so they're hilarious. So yeah, it could be. And that's where group readings get a little wild because there's all kinds of energy, floating around. But, you know, having been doing this for so many years, you know, I can focus and concentrate. And so that's a muscle that I use a lot. So I've done readings at fairs and expos with a band playing 100 feet from me, you know, so, I'm pretty well versed in the concentration and focus.
Okay. So that's super exciting. So, okay. I'm really nosy and I have to know now. Tell me something that you wrote down about me. Cause if you've already done that, I obviously I'm going to be like, okay, well, what the heck are you writing about me? Cause this is kind of exciting. So let me know what's going on.
Okay. And it might be wrong too. So the first thing that I get around you is a little girl. This feels like, it feels like a daughter. And if it's not a daughter, then it's a niece or your girlfriend's daughter, something like that. And, when I sense, and then your mom comes in, I don't know if she's passed or not. Sometimes because energy is energy, I can't tell, you know, sometimes if people are passed or not. Because people on the other side come through to me loud and clear. So I get quite a few relatives on the other side. And they show me there's a group of them. Quite a few. And it almost looks like, you've had, maybe an argument with your girlfriend. Or she's kind of angry at you. Kind of a little bit of a rift there. And also you want to keep in mind when spirit speaks, they're speaking metaphorically. And so we tend to take things very black and white and very literal. So when spirit says, you know, oh, there's like a brother coming through and someone will say, well, I didn't have a brother, you know, but you could have had a friend who was like a brother. Matter of fact, you may be even closer to that friend than your real brother. So, you know, you got to give them a little bit of leeway here. And then when I look at your life, spirit, the guides around you say definitely it feels like a bit of a jumble. And what they mean by that is there's no definition. And then they say there's no defined plan. It feels like there are many things on your plate, or they correct me and say many balls in the air, like you're juggling. That's what it feels like. And then the last thing they say is that you don't say no enough to people in your life.
Accurate.
You don't have clear boundaries because you're a good guy, you know, and you're a sweetheart and you don't want to tell anybody no. But then what happens is, you know, it sort of snowballs and it's not so good. And they say, why did I do that? You know, so, they say you have to say no sometimes and you just can't do it.
Well, that's very accurate. And how can I say no to my little girl, Faith, who's 7 years old, by the way?
thank you.
My mom is not passed. She's with us still. But she's not in the province right now. She's actually flying home right now from Dominican Republic. So that could be why you got a feeling that she's not here, because technically she isn't. She's in the air, which is kind of cool. And as for the not saying no thing, yeah, I'm a bit of a pushover. There's no doubt. I just can't help it. And As for an argument with my wife, I mean, I'm married. We argue all the time. So how could you be wrong about that?
Your mom feels like a really strong energy. By that, I mean opinionated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so your wife is a little bit the same, right?
Oh, what? Sorry, what'd you say?
Your wife is a little bit the same.
Similar in a lot of ways, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, you're going to get me in trouble here tonight.
and that's not a bad thing. You know, strong women are fantastic, although we can be a handful, you know.
Well, it does happen. Oh, by the way, interesting fact. Tonight, our 10-year anniversary. There you go.
Oh, nice. Happy anniversary.
How do I spend it? Downstairs in the closet podcasting.
Yeah, I hope you got a nice piece of jewelry that you're going to spring on her.
Yeah, well, yeah, we got 3 anniversaries this month, so, you know, we made the joke. We got to have 3 anniversaries so I at least remember one of them, right? So
there you go. 1 out of 3.
Tell me a little tiny bit about some of the, well, I don't like using the word revealing, but tell me a little bit maybe about a reading that really stuck with you, about something that you were just dead on about, and it just really helped somebody. Because I'm sure, how many years has it been now since you've been reading people?
It's like full-time, like 12 years it's been.
Right, I mean, so, we're over a decade. I'm thinking by now you've probably predicted something or helped somebody in a situation a little tiny bit just by giving them some extra information they never had before. Something really stuck out. Was there anything heartwarming or even shocking that happened over the last 12 years? Because I think that'd be really interesting to hear from you about.
So do I, but no, I can't think of, you know, one particular, because, and I'm not trying to sound, you know, full myself, but I mean, just the process of people that are past coming through. So I'll tell you one thing that comes through often for me, because, you know, I think every psychic is different. And so when I talk to people on the other side, what they will do 9 times out of 10 is they will stand a certain way. They will hold their hands a certain way. They will, you know, do their head a certain way. And so then I have to get up and say, well, your dad's here and he's doing this. He's standing like this. Or there's a man came through recently, a grandfather, who's so sweet. And he had on overalls, you know, jean denim overalls. And this little gal that was talking to him, you know, she just started crying because he always had on the overalls. And this one woman, the mother of a woman who came to see me, she was standing at her funeral about 25 feet away with her hands sort of cupped behind her, just in a observation mode, she had said. And that was a big moment because she always stood like that. So that's what they do. They give me, you know, things that, of course, I would never, how would I even know that? You know, and to me, I'm thinking, okay, well, I hope this means something because this is what I'm seeing, you know? And so my job is just to pass it on. So I can't think of any one event, but, you know, because still to this day, even when people come through, it's just so amazing to me. It's just, it's pretty wild, you know.
Another thing, too, I always kind of wondered, you got this link to the afterlife. Perhaps you have a little bit more insight as to what the afterlife is like. Tell me a little tiny bit about what you may have learned from your spirit guides on that regard.
Well, you know, they say a couple of things on that. They say that, which, you know, gets people riled up, but we all come from the same place and we all return to the same place. And this goes back to like other spiritual speakers saying, you know, we are all one because we really are, you know? And so the guides are with us from beginning to end. And, there is a trend that's been happening, maybe I want to say 5 years, where a lot of young people are killing themselves, you know, suicides. And my experience when I communicate with these suicides are they are beings, souls that have come into the physical body, and they want to do, actually, the guide says, an about face because they don't belong here. They don't fit in here. It's just, it's wrong. And so there's a lot of young people leaving, you know, and going back to the other side. And so what takes place there, what they show me, is a great deal of healing and a great deal of learning from this physical life we just left behind. So it's a time of learning, contemplation, of looking back, the typical life review. It sounds so corny, but it's true because they show it to me, you know, even when I don't ask for it. So it's a fantastic place. I think of it, you know, heaven and all of that. Is they say, you know, we're not too far away from that ideal of heaven. You know, we're not like that with winged creatures, you know, but pretty close. They say pretty darn close. So I don't believe in hell and punishment and, you know, all of that. I don't see it. They don't show that to me. Maybe it's there. It's not my experience, though.
So my world right now, I mean, you could be getting messages from the other side even when you're not reading people, correct?
No, I learned a long time ago to turn it on and to turn it off. That being said, my guides love to pipe in to me, you know, and it's not like they're talking to me constantly. Somebody thought that's what I meant. I'm like, no, it's not like that at all, because the umbrella over all of this, Jonathan, is free will, you know, and so we have free will. Our guides will just try and tap us on the arm and say, hey, maybe go this direction. Hey, you know, it's that inner guidance system that we all have. So they're not chattering constantly, because I don't want that, because that would drive me crazy. So, you know, I don't go up to strangers and say, hey, your mom's dead or next to you. You know, like some of those TV reality shows. And
I just think of the Long Island Medium that time.
Yeah.
Some poor guys are sweeping the floor, and she's like, you're about to have a change in employment. And then the boss comes out, I'm sick of you talking to people, you're fired. And she's like, oops.
Oh, my God, that's funny. Yeah. You know, people ask me, well, what about, you know, the Long Island Medium? I say, you know, don't forget, it's a TV show. You know, I mean, it's got to be, you know, quick and happening, and things have to happen, you know, because if you really saw, you know, life, as you know, we all know, it can be kind of mundane sometimes, you know. So, but if that's the way that spirit is telling her to go up to perfect strangers, then I think, well, okay, that's fine. But thank God I don't have to do that, because I think that would be terrible.
So in my case, when you mentioned earlier that, you know, spirit said that I'm basically juggling a lot of balls. There's a lot of things up in the air right now in my world. I think it's kind of what the way you kind of put it. What advice would you give to somebody who's like that? Because in my world right now, it's like, here I am looking for guidance, but kind of just got told that your future is undefined. That's really interesting. I never expected that. What kind of advice would you give somebody in that situation?
Well, you know, it's the energy around it that I pick up, that when I say that it seems like a jumble right now. And so by that, it brings on some frustration, some, you know, anxiety, some, you know, what the heck am I doing? So, you know, the guide say for that would be to prioritize, you know. And the other thing they pass on, Jonathan, is that, you know, no matter how hard you try, you can't make everybody happy. And to add to that, that's not your job, to make everybody happy. You know, people are going to go through whatever they go through. And that's just life. You know, that's part of our journey, right? Our learning situation. So, you know, the cool thing about life is that we do have free will and a great deal of control over what we allow into our lives, who we allow, what, who, you know, anything like that.
Very, very interesting. Has there ever been a time when you've gotten a message from the other side that you just, I don't like using the word like bad news, but have you ever had a chance, like, has that ever happened where you had something really negative come through, or is it usually just positive?
Well, you know, it's kind of a play on words because one man's negative is another person's positive, right? So they love those little plays on words. You know, when I get news that I'll tell you this, the difficult part is when someone comes to me and they say, oh, this relationship is just blah, blah, blah. And the hard part is that I'll have to pass on what I see and what I hear from spirit. Is that this relationship is not serving you. This is not for your highest good. This person does not honor you. This person does not have your back. You are catering and running after this person and they don't even care, you know. That is hard to hear, but again, 99.9% of the time, people know it. You know, the woman will say, oh, that's what I feared. And it's like, well, you know, the sooner you face up to it, the sooner you can move on. You know, from some guy that's treating you like a jerk, you know. So, yeah, in that sense, but they don't give me stuff like, oh, I actually heard this. Somebody said, the psychic told me I was going to die, you know. And it's like, well, what is the point of that? How is that useful? You know, so I don't ever get things like that. I'm thinking of one time that the guide showed me a picture. This woman came and she insisted she wanted to know what happened to her father in Mexico. And the guide showed me, but then they said, don't tell her. So, and it was pretty gruesome.
Oh, no.
And yeah. And so, and they said, you know, don't tell her because, and I would never go against the guides, you know, because what is the point in her knowing that? So she can have that terrible vision in her head, you know, because she wanted to know he disappeared. She wanted to know how he died. And so I said, I just can't help you, you know, sorry, I can't help you. And, you know, here's your money back. And, you know, so, you know, it happens.
I'd imagine, Lorna, and that it's actually really interesting that you told me that. I think it's kind of cool that you're, first and foremost, you're on the side of spirit. You know what I mean? You're not going to pass mm-hmm. along anything you're not supposed to pass along. And I'm just going to read a little something right off your website here. I offer psychic readings that can help you in many areas of your life, from relationships, career, to your own path in life. A reading can consist of current topics, future predictions, and or speaking to someone who has passed. It's up to you how to spend the time. The information I receive is always for your highest good, offering you guidance, validation, and assistance. So there you go. Right off your website, I never even needed to ask that question because you worded it perfectly there. So future predictions, this is always great. I love the idea of just the idea of even being able to see the future a little tiny bit. And well, since you already kind of read me a little, do you see anything in my future right now? Cause I think it'd be really, really cool to, you know, if you're going to predict something, it actually comes true the next couple of months or years or whatever. And I can say, hey man, remember back on episode 54 when I had Lorna Adams on and she said this, guess what? see anything in the future coming my way?
So here's that. Now it's a good question cause people ask that. And so the guides say, When people ask very vague questions, we will give them vague answers. And they're not trying to be, you know, rude, but they always tell me, so a person's life, your life, is like a map of the United States. And if you can imagine, there are millions of, you know, places to go and see and different accents and, you know, all of that. So they always ask to, you know, hone it down. Because as you can imagine, there's so many aspects to Jonathan's life. It's like, are you kidding? What aspect? Family, personal goals, work goals, you know, which area, they say, do you want us to, you know, give you?
Something? Okay. Career.
Yeah. So that's what I was afraid you were going to say. No. I feel like, I don't know if you work for yourself, or if it's a small company, don't tell me, but it feels smaller than what's coming, because what's coming is more, I want to say corporate. It's more of a cookie cutter. And yeah, thank you. It would be like going to work for Microsoft. Okay. It would be like, it's big, you know, but it's also like there are certain rules and regulations within this, you know, within those margins of working at Microsoft. So that's what I kept picking up on. Right. And so many times this will do away with the jumble aspect. It puts you, they say, on firmer footing, and your wife is happier. I feel like she feels, she doesn't like the unsure footing of what's coming next or these little experiments that you like to do. Well, I want to try this. And she's like, yeah, no. So, she just wants something more traditional. And the amazing thing is, Jonathan, they say is that 5 years ago, you couldn't have taken this job that's coming. But now you can. You weren't mature enough. And now they say specifically you can put the job in its place and you don't have to get, you don't feel like you're giving up or throwing yourself under the bus. You don't feel, thank you. You don't feel like you're a sellout, you know, because you're going corporate or nothing. And actually, no one is more surprised than you to hugely succeed in this environment that I'm calling like, you know, call it like a 9-to-5 or something. And this again could be like a metaphor, but it is a much more traditional job than you have now. And right. And no one is more surprised than you. You really like it. You have a lot of resistance. You're fighting it. You're kind of growing out of that though.
Interesting stuff. Yeah. My career is really strange. I'm a foster parent, and right now everything is up in the air. We have no idea what's coming our way. And yeah, so there you go. I guess yeah. Accurate. There you go. I'll say that word again. Accurate. I think that's what I'll call this podcast. I'll just call it Accurate and see how many hits we get.
I like that.
Accurate with Lorna Adams. I like that. Lorna, you would not believe how fast a half hour can go by here on the Eye of the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Let's go ahead and let's pump up some stuff. Because number one, you have a book you haven't even mentioned yet. So tell me a little tiny bit about this book.
Okay. It's on Amazon. It's old now. It's 5 years old. I'm working on my second book ever so slowly. But it's called They Are With Us. I forget the subtitle. It's so old. No, it's called They Are With Us. Yeah, it's guidance from spirit on how to change your life, and it's on Amazon. So it's a book that I wrote in about 3 weeks. I channeled it from the spirit guides, and it's a great read. It's not a big, you know, it's not War and Peace, you know, and it's a fun read, and so you can get it on Amazon. And I've got a new website coming up in about a week. I'm very excited about. It's going to be all slick and fancy. So, and my website is just my name, lornaadams.com. Lorna is LORNA, lornaadams.com. So yeah, and I write articles and I got a blog. And so I love to write.
Very, very awesome. Well, from me to you, thanks so very much for being a guest on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. And thank you for giving me, well, basically a free reading. I thought that was pretty cool. Thanks so much for that. And you guys out there who may want to have your own reading, don't forget to check out lornaadams.com. And, well, schedule yourself in. You can do it right there on the website, correct?
And with the new site, yes, absolutely.
Well, this podcast drops on the 1st of May. It's the 23rd right now when we record this. So guess what? You'll be alive and well and on the line.
Right on.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter at ODDTONFLD. That's odd to Newfoundland. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.